Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alaria, and I'm here with my guest, Alfonso Ramirez, who is the Director of Youth Formation for Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish in Corpus Christi, Texas. How are you, Alfonso?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm excited to bring you on board. You're only one of the few youth ministers that are here to join me today, and I was a youth minister at one point in my career, and it's interesting, challenging, joyful, all at the same time, so I look forward to our conversation.
Me too.
Alfonso, before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm happily married. This year I'll be celebrating 25 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I have 5 children and 2 grandchildren. I'm currently in the process of the diaconate formation. God willing, November 10th of this year, I'll be ordained a deacon.
Oh, wow. That even more congratulations. So this year is a blessed year.
It's a very blessed year. I have my 4th child graduating from John Paul II High School in June. So it's a year of plenty of celebration.
Plenty of blessing. Well, praise God for that. Now, this might take you back in time, but I'm interested to know why you became involved in youth ministry. In my experience, it wasn't the easiest thing to do. And as a matter of fact, over the week, I made the comment that it takes a special person to be a youth minister. So what brought you into the ministry of working with youth?
You know, that's really interesting. I had made my search retreat back in 1982, for those of you that were alive back then. And they were having a reunion of search people. And there was a group that was going to start up a new choir at St. Patrick's Church. And they said, come and sing. And I'm like, have you ever heard me sing? I don't think that's a good idea. And that got me involved in the church more so. And then they needed someone to direct the choir. So I directed the choir. And then I started with the CYO. And before you knew it, I was there for 12 years at St. Patrick's. After the 5th child was born, I took about 3 years off. And I landed at Our Lady Perpetual Help as a volunteer youth minister, and 4 years ago became a full-time director of youth formation.
Wonderful. Now, there was thanks for sharing, first of all. There was something that you mentioned that I thought I'd speak on, and that's the personal invitation you received to sing in the choir. I think that's more important when we talk about relational ministry, to have that personal touch with another human being. If we look at having a conversation at the dinner table with half the people and their iPhones out, that's not interaction with human beings. And we need to remember that it's that personal invitation that brings people to Christ.
It absolutely does. Because you can run a program and you can have an event. But if you don't have that relationship with the individual, if you don't draw them in, whether it's a relationship first with the youth minister or the youth leader, how are you going to draw them into that personal relationship with Christ?
Very well said. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Now, as a director of youth formation, what are the ministries that you oversee?
Well, we're very blessed that we try to reach every age level at our parish. We have an elementary school Escape. We have a middle school Edge, our high school youth group. I'm also in charge of camp evangelization with our middle school at OPH Academy. I'm in charge of sacramental preparation and altar servers.
Wow. Well, that's a mouthful. What are some of the things that you would say you truly enjoy? What are the things that just make you glow, make your eyes and your face light up in youth ministry?
I would have to say that when I see the young person get it, when I see that young person understand their relationship with Jesus, and they understand that they have a responsibility, but more so a desire to be his disciple. Just in March of this year, we were very blessed. This is our second pilgrimage to Rome to take our juniors and seniors that are graduating from any high school, as long as they're members of our parish and our youth ministry, and to take them to Orvieto, where you have a corporal where a priest was celebrating Mass. And he wasn't really believing that it truly became the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus in the Eucharist, and that Eucharist begins to bleed. And on a corporal still there are the stains of the blood of Christ. And for our young people to, we had a lot of all-servers go with us, so they had different days that they served at the altar. But those two that served at the altar and all of those there were so moved to be able to be so close and to be able to say, I know that that's my Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's those moments that you get the most joy.
That's very beautiful. As a matter of fact, I experienced something at one of the recent youth spectaculars where I was in adoration and Jesus passed me by and I started crying. And I do get emotional when I'm thinking about my Lord and just reflecting on my relationship with him. But that was pretty instantaneous and I was just filled with joy. So I can imagine what they experienced when they saw that miracle.
And miracles still happening. We had another young lady who has a back scoliosis, and she's been wearing a brace and had surgeries, and she was always in a lot of pain. Well, during that week, I believe it was at St. Peter's when we had our Mass at St. Joseph's Chapel, her pain was all relieved. She has not had pain since that day, and we just had a reunion this past Friday night, and she's still doing very well with her back. So God is still working.
Well, praise God. And, you know, when we plant the seeds and sometimes we don't see the fulfillment in the years that we have with these youth, but God is so good that they will get it, but just in their time and in God's time. And I remember as a youth minister, when I wouldn't see that the kids would get it, it might have gotten a little frustrating, but that's a part of the growth of the youth minister themselves, the fact that we know we're planting the seed and that it'll flourish when it's ready.
Absolutely. And you know, we have to constantly be planting that seed. You know, I think a lot of times people think of youth group or youth ministry as a moment to bring them together and have a social, maybe some ice cream or some pizza. But really, it's an opportunity to introduce them to Christ again and again. You know, how can you know someone unless you have knowledge of them? How can you become one of them unless you know who that person is? So for me and our ministry, we really try to bring a knowledge of about Christ, have some kind of experiential or activity that makes it applicable. And then how is it going to be placed into your life? We close with prayer, usually like a 20-minute prayer service every evening that we meet, because we want them to understand him, apply him, and then pray to him for guidance.
So you shared a little bit about what youth ministry is, and you spoke about some of the things that you do when you do meet with the youth. What age groups do we include in youth ministry at OLPH?
Well, we have our high school group, obviously, 9th to 12th grade, middle school 6th to 8th, and our elementary is gate from 1 to 5th.
You know, you did mention the elementary youth group. Tell me about that, because that's unique in itself.
It is. You know, our parish only provides for sacramental preparation for First Communion or for confirmation. So there's a space in there that you're leaving some kids out if you do not have continuing education. So we felt we have to reach these young people. And what's the best way to reach them for us has been to have we use a vacation Bible, Catholic Vacation Bible School, and we use that once a month throughout the year to bring the young people together in elementary age. And it works out really, really well.
Oh, so it's a bit different from the typical summer vacation Bible school.
Yes.
And you know what? The vacation Bible schools that I would send my young ones to, my 7 and my 4-year-olds, they love those and they look forward to it. And it involves what they want to do, singing, dancing, making things, but they're learning at the same time. So you do that all year round.
We do that all year round. And then specifically, we have a week during the summer that we run our vacation Bible school.
Oh, in addition?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing. Now, do you include the family? That's something that's very important. When we talk about youth, we always need to look beyond them and look at their parents. Not only are there liability issues, but more particularly, how do you get your families involved with your youth ministry?
You know, we absolutely get them involved. I think the saying was, it takes a whole tribe to raise a family. And it takes all of us working together with the families. We have movie nights for our parents to come out with us, usually during the summer and at Christmas. We also have opportunities for them. We all celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day every year, and we do that as well with our ministries. We'll have the dads come out on one night, the moms come out on one night. We also have a Mardi Gras celebration before Ash Wednesday. We bring the family together. We eat, right? And then we dance, and then we're ready to begin our journey. We also have Generations of Faith, where we bring all the families together, the generations, right? The child, the grandchild, the grandparent, the mom, the dad. And of course, we have opportunities for the parents to learn as well. We offer Bible study at least 2 times a year, as well as lay formation. We know that we need to bring, the whole family needs to be formed.
You know, agreed. And there's one thing that I really love, and that's Generations of Faith. I went to visit a parish in Alice, and it was their Generations of Faith night. Not only did I see mothers, fathers, but I saw cousins, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles. This is about bringing the whole family together. And I remember such a touching moment that I had with the people there. I was thanking everyone that was there, but I started with the dads. Because to me, I don't see that often. I don't see that our dads are usually there in these faith formation programs. And that says something about us. What do we need to do to bring dads, to bring grandma and grandpa in, and have a family formation night? And so the dads, all shy when I said, stand and let's applaud, stood up, and they became proud. And they embraced their role there. And I'm sure they've done that since the beginning of the year, but it was a touching moment for me. So there's something about Generations of Faith that I really enjoy. Alfonso, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love. Now showing at the Laura Thomas Central Library, 805 Comanche Street in Corpus Christi, is the Diocese of Corpus Christi's traveling exhibit entitled Becoming the Body of Christ. The exhibit depicts the growth of the diocese since its beginning in 1912. Included are photographic materials from the diocesan archives showing people, buildings, activities, and events, along with artifacts and an historical video. The exhibit will be on display until Friday, June 1st. If your business, library, school, parish, or other organization would like to host this traveling exhibit, call the Diocese Chancery Office at 361-882-6191. The Diocese of Corpus Christi. A century of tradition. A lifetime of faith.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Alfonso Ramirez, Director of Youth Formation for Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish. And Alfonso, I must say, we're having a great conversation, and I know the audience is going to be very interested. Our youth are so important in our lives and in our formational lives and in ministry that we need to pay attention to them.
Absolutely.
They receive so many negative insights and negative and wrong information from outside sources, so it's the parish that and the family, and both working in conjunction, that will get a very well-formed young person. So, great conversation. Let's go ahead then and talk about youth formation. What is the word formation about? Why is that in your title?
Well, I think formation is part of the title because what we're saying is that we're being formed into something, that it's not just, you know, come and receive knowledge, but it's about how are we being formed. Our goal is to provide is forming not only the leader, but it's also forming the member, because what we're trying to make ourselves is into disciples of Christ. It's a development process, and it's lifelong. It's not just okay, once you receive your sacraments, you're done. You know, we have a responsibility to continue to learn, to continue to grow in our faith. And so that's why we say it's a formational process. It is a ministry in terms that we minister to them, but it's formational. It's a lifelong process. It doesn't end. It's not like a graduation. I got my confirmation. It's the last one initiated. I'm done.
Yes.
Right? It's a lifelong journey.
And we don't see the kids again.
Yes.
Now, I'm glad that you talked about the lifelong journey. In terms of ministry, we're not just ministering to the child, but there's a transformational aspect that we're looking for. Similar to all of the sacraments, we receive, but then something happens. We receive the Eucharist, and then we're called to transform ourselves mm-hmm. and be Christ-like. So we're forming our young people, and
Absolutely.
It's a process.
A lifelong process.
And we're looking for a transformation.
That is our goal.
Good.
That is our goal, to get all of our young people, all of our families into heaven.
You know, and when I think of that goal, we should pay you all millions of dollars. we should start there, right? But that is such an intense goal. But it's well worth it.
Well, you know, it became very aware to me when I became a father. I was married, because at that moment, I took on the responsibility of having to work at getting all my kids into heaven. And so when I look at all the young people, I'm just assisting the families in getting their children to heaven. I'm not there to replace a father. I'm not there to replace a mother. I'm just there to help facilitate their ongoing formation.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because our families need to be reminded over and over again that they are the primary catechists.
Absolutely. And the domestic church.
The domestic church, and we're here to supplement, to assist in that facilitation. What we're wanting is to supplement what we're giving the families, but then for it to be reinforced when the kids get back home.
Absolutely.
We only see them 1 to 2 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So the families have them the rest of the time.
Absolutely.
Good. So, parents, you are the domestic church. You are the primary faith educators and formators in your family. Take on that role. Take on those promises that you made when your children were baptized.
And that's where the comfort level has to be of the parent as well as a family. That's where Generations of Faith comes in. It gives us opportunities to give them the knowledge that they need, the Bible studies, lay formation, if you would, RCIA. Maybe you've been a Catholic your whole life, and you've forgotten some of the things. Well, RCIA is a great opportunity for you to renew yourself in God's Word.
There was some experiences I had when people would share why they became involved in the RCIA process. And one of the reasons is because their children asked them questions about the faith, and they did not know the answer. And then the light bulb went on. Okay, I need to do something about this. I want my child to come and speak to me about our faith. I don't want them to get this information somewhere else. Mm. I want them to get it from me.
Well, Father Peter Marshallik, when he went around talking to the different parishes, he talked about the Olympians, especially ones that are doing the fast skiing, right? That the whole competition may last only 45 seconds to a minute, but they do countless of hours in preparation, countless of hours. And here we're talking about a journey to eternity. And we need to put that same emphasis, that same time, into making it a reality.
You know, speaking of that, I think I'm going to want all the parish catechetical leaders to listen to this interview, because I tell them, I'm your cheerleader. You have these kids 1 hour a week, and we're trying to get them into heaven. What are we going to do with those 27 to 30 hours a year? Mm-hmm. Because that's all we have them. Where are they getting the reinforcement? Is it in the family? And how do we help the family? You spoke about adult formation opportunities.
Right.
If they don't get it in the parish, where are they going to get it? Or are they going to receive any continuing formation, since it is a lifelong process?
Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and talk about a typical year in the life of you and the youth that you form. From A to Z, what goes on?
Gosh, we only have like 10 minutes, so I'll try to make this as succinct as possible. But what we try to do every year is obviously have a kickoff. We want everyone invited to our youth ministry, whatever level, from elementary all the way to high school. We want to let them know that they're important to us. And then we have activities and teachings that bring home the different seasons. You know, the church is wonderful to offer these different seasons. We just went through the beautiful season of Lent. Now we're in Easter. We're celebrating. We're rejoicing. So we take every church opportunity, or the different seasons of the church, to reinforce what the church is trying to say. We also participate in diocesan events. We just came back from the middle school. You spectacular yesterday. That was wonderful.
It was fabulous. Praise God.
Yes, absolutely. We participate in the Chrism Mass. We have gone to the Chrism Mass for many years now, where the oils that many of our confirmandi will be used to be anointed with. We participate in the Mass for the deceased religious and priest of our diocese. Soon, I believe, there's going to be a special Feast of Corpus Christi Jubilee celebration. We'll be there as well. You know, it's important for them to know that they have a parish life and that we serve our parish and we grow from our parish. But it's more important for them to know that we belong to something greater. We also belong to the diocese. Those of us who went to Rome and the young people that know in the parish knows that we went, knows that we belong to something greater as well. So we are a huge community and we need to support one another. And so we use the diocesan events. Deer Creek Camp is another one that we participate in. There's just so many.
Let's say there's World Youth Day coming up that hopefully, and with God's help, and will be very successful. So things like that, those are great opportunities. Thank you for mentioning them.
Yes, and well, retreat experiences as well. I know most parishes have, maybe a day reflection or a 2-day retreat. We really try to really have an opportunity there from go on retreat. And our retreats are about 5 days, 4 to 5 days, depending. 5 day in the summer, 4 day during the Thanksgiving break. We're real excited this year. You know, we've taken advantage of the Steubenville conferences for over 12 years. And this year we've decided to have our own retreat, our own conference, and it's called Metanoia. Metanoia 2012, where we invite anybody in the diocese who wants to join us on that weekend, July 27th through the 29th, to join us. We have excellent speakers. You know, our diocese has a lot to offer. We have wonderful priests like Monsignor Edas, my pastor. We have our Pete Elizardo from the rector of the cathedral, and Father Vasquez from St. John the Baptist will be our presenters. So we're excited about this retreat we're going to put on and that we're offering to the whole diocese.
So for more information, please visit the diocesan website, and there's some materials coming out. Now, you did speak about the retreats, the 5-day retreats. I want to add that your pastor is heavily involved in those retreats, and he's leading those retreats. Is that correct?
Absolutely. If it wasn't for the pastor that we have at our parish,
Monsignor Edas,
I don't believe we could move the way we do, because people would think we're a little crazy. You know, we want to take your kid for 5 days. We want your children to be active in the community. We want them to do service hours, both those in formation to be confirmed and those that are just part of our youth program. You know, we want them to do corporal works of mercy. We want them to be in that human connection.
And I must add that there's no better person to emphasize the culture of formation than Monsignor Edas. I mean, I'm just enthralled when I even have a simple conversation with him, because you see the passion, and that passion is going to be transferred to the kids.
Absolutely. And, you know, he will do anything, whether they're old or young. His desire is just to get them to realize how much God loves them.
Well, he's going to be forming the parish catechetical leaders, our directors of religious education, at our upcoming retreat. So I look forward to that. Now, you did talk about service, and we'll go ahead and end our program with the importance of service. Why do our youth need to understand the concept of serving?
Because it goes to dignity of human life. Because, as you said earlier, we're all made in God's image and likeness, right? Our Creator created us. And if we cannot show compassion to those that are made in his image, then how can we show compassion? I mean, everyone's important. The young, the old, the disabled, the mentally challenged, the homeless, all of them deserve love. And so service is important.
It's about love, huh?
It's about love. It's about love.
It's about love and charity and just, when I think of service, I think of Holy Thursday. And I think of the washing of the feet. And Alfonso, I must say that you have a great and huge ministry, and I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to guide you.
Me too.
And thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. Mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, Here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Children have a natural gift for fantasy, and the same gift for belief. There are, of course, many differences between the two. Fantasy involves pretending that something is really something other than what it is. For example, a stick becomes a sword in the hands of a boy. For a girl, it might be a magic wand, while a doll becomes a real baby when the same girl plays house. Pretending is the magic of childhood, and it's what happens when children fantasize, when they let their imagination run free. On the other hand, belief is the opposite of fantasy, because it engages what is real and forms a relationship with it, based on what it is rather than what it might be. A child who grows up with loving parents, who provide food to eat and a warm bed to sleep in, believes with simple confidence that there will be a comforting voice in times of distress. The child knows and believes that someone will be there to take care of them, to protect them. This belief allows them to form relationships with what is real, with their parents and family, with teachers and friends. In the same way, they believe the promises of the Bible stories they hear. God will stand by them. He will protect them and guide them. The church and the rest of the world, along with the saints, are seen as good. Jesus, talking to his disciples, tells us, "Whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." He wants to remind us that we have to distinguish between what is real and what is not. Unfortunately, as we grow older, the world becomes complex and painful. The lines between belief and fantasy blur. We experience trials and hardships. Our early beliefs are challenged, and it seems easier and less painful to escape into the fantasies of the world. Video games replace playing with friends face to face. Movies offer heroes who don't die. Actors and actresses take the places of saints. And pretty soon, there's little left to believe in. The same happens in our relationship with God. The storms from which we were protected as children become storms that rage within us as our need for something sustainable to believe in increases. Where once we knew light, now there is only darkness. When we try to recover something of what we did believe in and begin to read Scripture, we often make the mistake of finding that one verse or another that seems to fit our need. We take it out of context, and making it a motto of sorts, try to make it fit as an answer to all of our questions and doubts. Here we are, trying to move from the fantasy of the world into a new fantasy of our own construction. We try to make God fit into our imagined fantasy world, and it doesn't work. We become more confused and lose hope. Jesus also told his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." He gave us all the answers that we need, if only we listen to everything he tells us. If we want to live in confidence and joy like a child, then we have to embrace everything Jesus offered. May you come to know the truth, and may it set you free in the Word of God, which is the truth. And may you see through the eyes of a child, trusting your Heavenly Father in the sacred moments of your life. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Alfonso Ramirez, Director of Youth Formation for Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish. If you would like more information about youth formation or how you could get you or your youth involved, please call 361-991-7891, extension 27. Thank you again for joining us on Labors of Love. Be with us again next time.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.